Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. And if we can read the words that we have in verse 7. Mark chapter 9 and verse 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." We wish this morning to look at the last two words of that verse, "Hear him." Hear Christ. And there are three points that we wish this morning to consider. Why are we to hear him? How are we to hear him? And what is it that he is saying to us? Why are we to hear him? Why should we listen to him? Why are we to hear the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we to hear him? And what is he saying to us? First of all, then, let us take a look at the first of these points. Why is it that we are to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ? This morning I went up and opened the Sabbath school, wanted to speak to the young people, wanted to tell them the importance of what they learn in the Sabbath school, that they would listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to them, because the Lord speaks to young children as much as he speaks to older people. Remember how Jesus took children, little children, onto his knee. "Suffer the little children to come unto me," he says. Well, we have students in the Sabbath school, young people in the Sabbath school, and they ought to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. So do we. No matter who we are, we must hear Christ. Now, why is it that the Mark here recalls for us the prophetic office of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that Matthew brings out his priestly office when he records that "this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That is there, I believe, the priestly office. But Mark here particularly refers to his prophetic office when he says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Why is it that he concentrates particularly upon the prophetic office of Jesus Christ? Well, surely when you look at the context of here, you have Moses and Elijah, two of the great men of the Old Testament. You go back to the Old Testament, and Moses was sent to the children of Israel that he would speak to them. Aaron would be his mouthpiece, but he had to address the children of Israel. And when he went, he was told, "Tell them that I am has sent you. I am that I am. It is I am that has sent you." But when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, you discover that what is said to Moses is that there would be one who would come after him. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet in the midst of thee," a prophet in the midst of thee, "of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Moses himself declares this, that there would be one who would be raised up from among his brethren, that is, from among the Jews, not an Arab, Islam believes, and Muhammad, who's not even among the brethren of Moses. But the one who would rise up would be of his own brethren, that is, from the Jews. And he would be like unto Moses, Moses who came up out of Egypt, and Moses who spoke to God face to face. Moses was not the ultimate one that God's people would listen to. There would be a greater that would be raised up unto him, shall they hearken? Now here you have Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, and here is a confirmation of that which Moses had already spoken, that Moses comes, as do all the prophets, and cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ. They are to listen to Jesus Christ. Now, many will think to themselves, here is Jesus Christ and Moses and Elijah, and they listen to Christ and they don't listen to Moses and Elijah, but that's not what's being said here. It is that by listening to Jesus Christ, you are effectively listening to Moses and the prophets, because they have prophesied of him. They have foretold his coming. They are subsumed, as it were, into Jesus Christ himself. When we listen to him, then we are listening to the one that ought to be listened to. So that here you have, on the Mount of Transfiguration, a looking back to the coming of Messiah, who would be like Moses, but Moses is but the servant in the house, whereas Christ is the heir, Christ is the son of the house. And you notice that again when you go on to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The faithful and true witness, it is Jesus Christ who is speaking to the churches and to the church at Laodicea, the faithful and true witness. Here is the one who is the faithful and true witness. And God says we are to hear him. We are to hear him. And that is in comparison to Moses and all the prophets that have already spoken. We are now to listen to Jesus Christ, who fulfills the prophetic office. And how is it that we are then to specifically hear him? Well, we are told that he has absolute authority to speak. Jesus Christ as the mediator, Jesus Christ as the God-man. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, how all things are placed into his hand. In chapter 11 and verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. As the mediator, everything has been placed into the hands of Jesus Christ. Angels, spirits, the very hearts and souls of men, the church, death and life, heaven and hell, everything has been delivered unto Jesus Christ by God the Father. There is nothing there that is exempted from that. All things are his anyway, as he is God himself, but he's delivered unto him as the mediator, as the God-man. When he sends the disciples out, for example, he says to them, go ye into all the world. Now, as he sends them out, he says to them that all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. So Jesus Christ has the absolute authority, because all things have been delivered unto him by the Father. But he doesn't only say that, he is the one who knows the Father. But he hath delivered all things from the Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So we are told there that unless we know Jesus Christ, unless we listen to Jesus Christ, we don't know God at all. If our ears are closed to Jesus Christ, then we are closed to God himself. If our ears are opened and Christ is revealed to us, and we listen to Christ, then the Father himself is revealed. So in these verses, we are being told that only Christ is the one to whom we must listen, because he alone is the one that knows the Father. He is the express image of his glory. And he is the one that God has delivered all things into his hands. But it's not just that as the God-man that he is has absolute power. We are also told that he has the Spirit without measure. Now, neither Moses nor Elijah nor any other that are there on the mount with him, none of them are able to show that all things have been delivered unto them, and they had the Spirit by measure. But Jesus Christ has the Spirit without measure. He is filled with the Spirit without measure. And what power and authority and what ability that is that he has to open the hearts of sinners as the mediator. You can begin to understand then why it is that God says to him, and God commands us to hear him. Even within the verse itself, there are three things that reveal to us and show to us why it is that we should listen to Jesus Christ. First of all, he is the Son. He is the Son. When you come to Matthew's Gospel, he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There is the priestly office. He is well pleased in Jesus Christ. He is well pleased in him. Hear ye him. He is the prophetic office. And both the priestly office and the prophetic office are founded upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. His priestly office and his prophetic and the kingly office are all founded upon the fact that Jesus is the Son. He's the eternal Son. His eternal sonship gives authority to his prophetic office. His eternal sonship gives value to his priestly work. His eternal sonship gives authority to his kingly office, his regal office. It's the fact of who Jesus Christ is that makes him a true prophet, priest, and king. He is the Son. Therefore, hear him. He's not the servant. He's not like Moses and Elijah, Moses who is a servant in the house. He's the Son. Therefore, we ought to listen to the Son. Is that not what, when you go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and Jesus gives the parable of the man who has a vineyard? And he says, I will send my servants down to see and to see what's going on. And they mishandle, they kill, they beat up the servants that he sends. Now he says, I will send my beloved Son, and they will reverence him. Well, here we find on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus, is, we are told that he is the Son. Therefore, hear him. But it's not just that in his person, that he is the Son. He's the beloved Son. This is the Son of his bosom. This is the Son whom God loves. God so loved that he sent his only begotten Son, the Son whom he loves. Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of God the Father. And if he sends the beloved Son into this world, how much ought we then to listen to him? The Old Testament saints ought to have listened to Moses and to Elijah. They were servants, and they had every reason to listen to what Ezekiel was saying, that we were reading this morning. He was a watchman on the tower, looking out for their souls, warning them of God's judgment to come. They ought to have listened to Ezekiel and to the prophets and to Elijah and to Moses. But if it was the case that they ought to have listened to them, how much more when God sends his beloved Son into this world, ought we to pay heed to what he says? He's the beloved Son. But there's a third reason given even in this text as to why we ought to listen to him. In whom he is well pleased. God is well pleased with Jesus Christ. He was well pleased with Jesus Christ on the Mount, as he was working out a perfect righteousness for his people, the sinless Son of God, as he makes his way to Jerusalem. The heavens are declaring, God is well pleased with him. His holiness, the holiness, the perfect holiness of God, is pleased with Jesus Christ. That inflexible law that is so broad and stands to condemn every one of us is perfectly pleased with Jesus Christ. There is absolutely nothing that Jesus Christ ever did but that God said from heaven, Amen. Even the cross, particularly the cross, when Christ went to Calvary's cross, when he suffered and when he died. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There is only one death in which it can be said, God is truly satisfied, and that's the death of Jesus Christ. There is only one work, one whose work is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. And therefore, we ought to listen to what this Christ has to say. God himself commands us today, hear ye him. If then there is every reason why we should listen to him, how are we to listen to him? How are we to listen today to Jesus Christ? If you're listening to someone speak, or if you listen to a noise, there is the sound that comes. And you hear the sound. Even the brute beast of the field will hear the sound. You go to a dog and you speak to that dog. The dog may not fully understand every word that you're saying, but it hears you. It'll respond. Even the beast of the field, if you're walking through a hill and the deer hear you, they hear the sound and off they go. The brute beast of the field can hear words. Man can understand these words because man has a reasonable soul. Every single one that's in here today has a reasonable soul, from the youngest to the oldest, to the Sabbath school children that I spoke to this morning, to the oldest person that's in here today. We have a soul. And the evidence of the fact that we have a soul is that we can understand words. We can reason. And when we hear, we're not like the brute beast of the field that just hears sounds. We can hear, we can understand, especially can we understand the gospel. Can we understand Jesus Christ, who he is? And that proves that you're a man or a woman. It proves that you have a soul, or a child, you have a soul. You can understand words. But when we hear, it is that we then consent to and obey the words of Christ. That's a disciple. The difference between someone who can just simply understand words and someone who obeys. When God says from heaven, hear him, it's not just saying listen to words. It's not just sit and try and understand some of these words. The Pharisees knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Very often they were offended at him because they knew exactly what it was that he was saying. But they weren't disciples. To hear the word of Christ is to be obedient to the word of Christ. And that is a disciple. To hear Christ. Now, when are we to hear Christ? Well, Paul tells us. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Hebrews in the third chapter. He says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time when we are to believe in Jesus Christ. Now is the time when we are not only to listen and to understand, but now is the time for us to obey the voice of Christ. Today, if you will hear his voice, then harden not your hearts. Today is the day when we are to obey the voice of Jesus Christ. Thomas Manton says, he says, refuse Christ today, and God may not speak to you tomorrow. Refuse Christ today, and he may not speak to you tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where we must hear his voice. There are many voices that come to us through the week, isn't there? There's many voices that will crowd into our hearts and into our ears. There are many, many voices that will come our way during the week. Voices about work, voices about family, voices about this. But there is one day in the week, particularly, where God speaks to his people. And he says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Obey me. Bow the knee to me. That means that when we hear the voice of Christ, whenever we hear the gospel being preached, God today doesn't address us the way he addressed the prophets, the way he addressed Paul and with some audible voice. We ought not to be waiting for some kind of audible voice from God from heaven to speak to us. That's not the way God speaks to us today. He speaks to us through the prophets and the apostles. He says, when they hear you, they hear me. He speaks to us through his word and by his spirit. The word today that comes and addresses us through the preaching of the word. When we hear the gospel, we ought to hear it with all seriousness. There is no more serious business that you will take to do with this week than the business that you have in here today on the Sabbath day, the business of your soul. I've often said this, and I often quote an old elder that I knew. He's in glory today, we believe. And he used to say, when you come to God's house, do you do business with God? Do you do business with God? You do business every single day and week. You hear people, you hear their voice, but when you come into God's house, here is the most serious and the most important business of all. Do you seriously listen for the voice of Jesus Christ? And every word. When the voice said, hear ye him, it didn't say, hear him when he says things that suit you. Hear him so long as you agree with it. It doesn't say that. Every single word that Jesus speaks to us through the gospel, hear ye him. Very easy for us, you see, when we listen to Christ, to listen to the things that we want to hear. And to just discard the things that we don't want to hear. We love to hear the things that speak about peace. But we don't want to hear the things that speak about obedience. We want to hear things that speak about justification. We don't like to hear so much about sanctification. But when it's said here from on this mountain, God the Father says, you listen to him. Peter has just confronted the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord had said something that he didn't like to hear. He didn't want to hear about the cross. He didn't want to hear about the need for sin, for a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. He didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ going to Calvary. But God is saying to him, Peter, James and John, you listen to what Jesus has to say. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to offer himself up a sacrifice. You listen to him. Pay heed to all that Jesus has to say. Understand it, put your own amen to it, and then obey it. Obey it, obey it. Because obedience is better than all sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To be obedient to Jesus Christ is better than every sacrifice. Hearken to what he has to say than the fat of rams. How then are we to hear? But thirdly, what is it that he particularly says to us? What is it that he says? Well, can I suggest to you there are two things that are set before us in the word of Jesus Christ. First is what we are to believe. And secondly, the duty that God demands of us. Summed up in these two things. Hear him. Because in him you will hear what you have to believe concerning reconciliation with God. How is a sinner to be right with a holy God? How are you to have communion and fellowship with God? Some people, they say, you go into a quiet corner and you sort of meditate. Meditate on the inner self. Try and take yourself up into some kind of higher sphere. It's not what God says, though, is it? God says, you listen to Jesus Christ. Because he is the one that reveals the way of salvation. The way of reconciliation, the way of communion and fellowship with God himself. When you listen to Jesus Christ, you have two in the most extreme positions you could ever have. You might not have some of the scientific formula given to you. Water is H2O. You don't get that in the Bible. But what you do have is, on the one hand, a hell-deserving sinner, which is at the most extreme end on this side, and a most holy God on this side. Two at extreme variances to each other, at a distance that is irreconcilable, except for Jesus Christ. Because he brings the two most extreme things in this world, hydrogen and oxygen, very easy compared to a sinner and a holy God. But he draws the two of them together. And in him there is that salvation. When we come and we believe in him, when we trust in him, when sinners are reconciled to a holy God, what is revealed in Jesus Christ when we listen to him? One word. The gospel. Two words. The gospel. The good news. Gospel. Good news. But secondly, are embraced within that first one is when we listen to Christ, we have the comfort in this world. People today are all over, spiritually, mentally, people are all over the place. People today, they go past New Year and there's all the excitement of New Year. It brightens up your life and then you're out on the other side and down they go. Do you know, listen to Jesus Christ because there is your greatest comfort in this life. There is your greatest joy. I'm saying that on Thursday evening in Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. He says elsewhere, rejoice. And I say again, rejoice in Jesus Christ. There is your greatest joy in this world. There is your greatest comfort in this world. When you listen to Jesus Christ. When you close your ears to Jesus Christ. And you listen to the voice of the world. Listen to the voice of the old man. The Christian is the very one that will be able to tell you. That's your sorrow. Because the Christian knows that when he listens to Jesus Christ, that's his greatest joy. He's the one that reveals the greatest joy to the Christian. In other words, Christ is our true happiness in this world. But when we listen to him, it's not just that he's the true source of happiness and joy and comfort to the soul in this world. He's the one that gives us and all the promises of God are yea and amen in him. Remember, all things have been given into his hand, all the promises for God's people, all the grace that you need, all that you need to bring you through this world and bring you into glory. You just need to listen to what Christ says. That's sometimes how we lose our assurance, that we lose our comfort because we don't listen to what Christ says and we don't then apply it to our own lives. If we would apply the promises that God has given to us to our own lives, would we not rejoice every day? Glory, all things are yours because you are Christ. Heaven, hell, death, it's all yours. It is all given up to you because you are Christ. But it's not just what we believe. It's the duty that God, when we listen to Christ, he gives us our duty. How are we to walk before him? How are we to be before him? You go to religions of the world and they'll say, well, you do this, that and the other, and you do that, you know, and this will be, you'll be justified, you know, by doing all this. You're never justified other than in Christ. But Christ then gives you the duty as to how you're to walk before him. Where do you get that? You get that from Jesus himself. He says to Peter, Peter, pick up your cross and you come and follow me. You don't think I'm going to Jerusalem, Peter, you will follow me. And we will go to Jerusalem and I'll go to the cross and I'll suffer and die. And Peter, you'll pick up your own cross and you will come and follow me. What does it mean? How is it that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you look at Paul when he writes to the church at Philippi? His whole interest is that he would be like Christ. Now what does this mean then? It means that there is the greatest warning given to us here today. Second Lord's Day of a new year. The first day of the week. There is a warning given to us that if we close our ears to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are in the most grave danger that any person could ever be in. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you obey him? Do you respect his word? Do you receive his word by faith as the word of God and not the word of man? Has the word of Jesus Christ, who is the word himself, come home to your heart in power? Have you come to believe and to trust in him alone? And not to trust in yourself or in the flesh. The apostle says in Philippians, he said, of all people, had every reason to trust in the flesh. Hebrew of the Hebrews, an Israelite after the flesh, the tribe of Benjamin, concerning the law, blameless. But when Christ met with him on the road, said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? His whole life changed. He heard the voice of Christ. And he says, those things that I counted gain to him, I now counted them as nothing, that I may win Christ, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Have you heard the voice of Jesus Christ calling you by name? Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we pray that thou would undertake for us this day. Give us grace to look to thee. We thank thee for every blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou would bless us now as we wait upon thee. Undertake for us in the rest of the day. Bless us that we would recognize that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where we must come and trust in him alone. Bless us now, undertake for us, pardon us all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.